All right, it's the Security Weekly News, and it is episode 287. I'm Doug White, and it's Friday, the 7th of April, 2023. We've got Naughty Tesla, Flipper Zero, Relide, I don't know how to say it, Styx, Genesis, Sophos, Cisco, Meta, and more, along with Aaron Leyland on this episode of the Security Weekly News.
This is a Security Weekly production for security professionals by security professionals. Please visit securityweekly.com/subscribe to subscribe to all the shows on our network.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
It's the show that keeps you up to date on the latest security news twice a week, your trusted source for accurate security information and expert analysis. It's time for Security Weekly News.
Did you know that Active Directory is exploited in 9 out of 10 cyber attacks? With access to Active Directory, attackers can gain control of your network. To keep attackers out, you need to find and fix Active Directory security gaps. Meet Purple Knight, a free security assessment tool that scans your environment for hundreds of vulnerabilities and helps you fix the problems. Ready to reduce your Active Directory attack surface? Download Purple Knight, the number one Active Directory security vulnerability assessment tool. Visit securityweekly.com/Semperis, S-E-M-P-E-R-I-S, for more information.
Business Security Weekly is recorded on Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Each week, we address the challenges facing CISOs through our guest interviews, including former and active CISOs. Our new segment is focused on leadership and communication to better help security leaders translate and communicate security risks into business risks. Jason Albuquerque, Ben Carr, Tyler Robinson, and others add their expertise to the conversation. I'm Matt Alderman, and I hope you search for Business Security Weekly in your favorite podcast catcher and subscribe to download our latest content.
All right. Welcome to Security Weekly News. I think that lineup sounded like a band, or like a lineup of bands at a festival or something like we Styx, Genesis, Sophos, Cisco, Meta, and Flipper Zero, one night only at the Meadowlands with special guest Mind Carnival. That's an inside joke, but regardless. Yeah. Well, I warned you. I did. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Brazil banning Flipper Zeros, and now guess what? Amazon has banned it as well. I did learn some stuff from this article. Everybody loves Flipper Zeros. I mean, they are. They're fun, and they're really great to play around with. It's a pen testing tool, you know, just like radar detectors were a radar detection tool for to prevent you from being exposed. Yeah, exactly. But it's a pen testing tool, and it really is useful to see how easy it is to take control of a wireless device. And we've used them to test real world devices to see if those things had, you know, the potential to be taken over quite easily. And I've seen them work on garage doors, public toilets. Yes, public toilets. You can even open charging ports on Teslas. I haven't personally witnessed anybody do that, but I someone told me they did it. And we use it to open a card reader door, and it's a pretty fun gadget, even if you aren't a pen tester. I mean, you could, you know, replace your TV remotes with a Flipper Zero. You can activate all your neighbor's Wi-Fi sex toys at once, or maybe rev up that electric bike or something as it goes by, or just turn off that damn TV in the waiting room from a distance. Believe me, that's a useful one. But, I mean, not that any responsible adult would do such things. Just juvenile types, you know, might be doing things like that or switching the channels in the waiting room at the Volvo deal. No, not that I would do that. But anyway, Amazon put out a seller's notice last night that says it is tagging this product as a restricted product. Now, I didn't know this. I did not know that Amazon has a whole restricted product catalog that apparently includes such things like, you know, and this sort of stuff is all under lock picking and theft devices. And they only allow certain trusted sellers to sell these things. And, you know, they sell card skimmers, they sell all kinds of stuff, which I presume the intent was to sell it to legitimate people. You know, like certain companies will only sell stuff to law enforcement people, or you have to show a badge or whatever. But I could not find a way to get restricted access to purchase these things on Amazon. Only I found how you could go in and become a trusted seller who could sell these things. But I'll bet some of you can figure it out. But anyway, I would say it's not going to be very long before Flipper Zeros are going to be illegal in the United States and probably other places. So if you want one, and you don't want to fly to Hong Kong and go to Temple Street, and of course, if you do that, you may end up with something called like a flapper zero or something that you thought was the real thing. And then you get it home and find out that all it will really do is play Doom. But if you want one, you better get one soon or you won't be able to. Rylide Relide is a new browser extension that targets Chromium products, which include Chrome, Brave, Opera, Edge, and other browsers that use the Chromium engine. The malware monitors browser activity. It can take screenshots. It can steal crypto by injecting carefully timed scripts into the web pages. It's really interesting. Trustwave Spider Labs found that it looks like a normal Google Drive extension that you would want to add, and then it proceeds to abuse Chrome. So two separate campaigns have been observed that were distributing Relide. One was using the old Google Ads and Aurora Stealer trick, which is a pretty old approach, but it works. And of course, that loads extensions using Rust Loader. So if you click that, it's going to load this thing in. And the other one was being distributed using Akipa Rat. So that was a little more involved, I think, to put that on somebody's system. But, I mean, if you're in, you're in. The malware, once it's been installed, runs a script that attaches a listener, which basically takes note of what you're doing in your browser. So it monitors when you switch tabs, when you receive web content, or when web pages are just finished loading. And then additional scripts are configured so they can be injected into the web page to steal information related to crypto. They can also steal email credentials and pretty much anything you can steal, they can steal. It also proceeds to disable content security policy, which is a feature that prevents cross-site scripting attacks and such by detecting when, you know, something's being pushed to you from a site that's not supposed to be there. It exfiltrates your browsing history. It can send all that stuff to a command and control server, obviously. And the malware can then also present a forged dialogue, which would trick you into providing two-factor codes. So this was primarily targeted at crypto. And so when you went to a crypto site and you actually log in and it sends you your two-factor code, the malware injects a script just at the right moment so that instead of you actually getting to the crypto site directly, it pops up a fake login and box for your two-factor code, which you then receive on some other device, and you type all that in, and then it automatically logs into your crypto site. So you think you're logging into the crypto site, but it actually proceeds with a crypto withdrawal automatically, and I presume it transfers the withdrawal somewhere other than where you thought it was going. Yeah. But all those things are pretty, pretty scary. So I would watch out very carefully for this and other browser extensions, which are growing and they're growing more and more sophisticated. So you may want to think about how you deal with this kind of stuff with your users. A new dark web marketplace called Styx started earlier this year, I guess named after the band or named after the river Styx in Egyptian mythology. I don't know, could be either one. I think the band was named after that, and so who knows. But it seems to be a growing destination for buying and selling illegal services and stolen data. The site is providing pretty much anything you can possibly imagine. They provide money laundering, identity theft, distributed denial of service attack, two-factor bypasses, fake IDs, personal data sales, rental malware, on and on. Now, how much would you pay? It's a one-stop shop, so come on down to Crazy Doug's all-you-can-eat malware shop. But I remember when I was a kid, my dad went and rented a concrete mixer thing, you know, one of those, you know, like you pull it behind the car. And we thought that was super awesome, although he wouldn't let us get inside of it because he said it was dangerous. But I thought it might be pretty fun. But it was not as awesome as if your dad was renting out some serious malware for a fun Saturday of taking on the man. But Styx officially opened on the 19th of January with a ribbon-cutting ceremony led by Mayor Tom Boggins. No, I made that part up. But ReSecurity said that despite the announced date and the official date, they had noticed this site early in 2022 when the developers were still building the escrow modules. Styx accepts crypto payments. They have a trusted sellers list with vetted vendors and other weird modern things. You know, like this is crime, but you know, you can trust us that our criminals are the safest and most secure. A trusted seller on there, they were showing in this ad, has fake IDs and examples of fake IDs you could buy that had Joe Biden on them, David Beckham. I really want a Hawaii driver's license that says McLovin, thank you very much. But I don't think I could pass for Joe Biden or David Beckham. But, you know, maybe I could. I don't know. But it's amazing the level of sophistication that these sites have these days. They have HR departments. They have, you know, customer helplines and all kinds of stuff. So it's really, really becoming, I mean, like, I don't know when, at what point the dark web will just become part of the web. And it'll, you know, but at this point, it's still kind of separated a little bit. I mean, I know it's all part of the same thing, but, you know. Anyway, that said, Genesis Market, which is another dark website, appears to have been taken down in an international law enforcement operation. Domains associated with Genesis Market have an image now that informs visitors that the website has been seized by the FBI using a warrant issued by a court in Wisconsin. The operation was codenamed Cookie Monster. I didn't really say why, but it involved the participation of more than a dozen European and North American law enforcement agencies. They're all listed there. They have their little logos and everything. Genesis has been around since about 2018, and probably some of you have been to that site before. And it is known as the most trusted store among crime lords in Gotham. No, I made that part up too, but it's kind of true. The Department of Justice released a statement finally on the 5th that said that the investigation involved 14 countries and 400 law enforcement actions and had resulted in 119 arrests worldwide and 208 searches and interviews worldwide. Sounds like a low number of searches and interviews if you arrested 120 people, but, you know, I don't know how to do that job. The FBI confirmed that there were Americans among those arrested. Now, the Department of Justice then said that and this is the scary part, they said their investigators had accessed the user database and that they had found more than 59,000 registered users. And wait for it, the database contained their purchase histories, their activity histories, and so forth on all of those users. So if you bought something there, you might not want to answer the door because they are still arresting people. Or maybe use your fake Joe Biden ID to flee the country. You know, you'd be like, I am Joe Biden and I'm going to Mexico for a little holiday with Ted Cruz. But I mean, you know, so was it worth it to get a fake passport for Grand Fenwick with the name Dag McFloggins? Hell yes. But, you know, anyway, I got to run. But no, I mean, so this is an interesting development. And I think a lot of people who use the dark web, I think the initial dark web users, you know, like when I was going on there, I took a lot of precautions to make sure I wasn't even buying, you know, illegal stuff. I was just sort of astounded at the stuff that you might be able to buy, like, you know, bricks of heroin and things. I was like, really? Can you just like give this person some crypto and they're going to ship a brick of heroin to your house marked, you know, edible plants or something? I mean, I was really nervous that, you know, like even just being there might get you flagged, but I took a lot of precautions. So hopefully you did too, if you've been using any of those sites to buy Flipper Zeros or something. Well, Sophos announced patches to the Sophos web appliance, which included a patch of CVE-2023-1671, which scored a whopping 9.8 on the severity scale. That particular flaw in their web appliance was in the warning page handler. So that's a pretty bad place for stuff to be. But it was the warning page handler of their web application, and it could be exploited without authentication. It was described by them as a pre-auth command injection vulnerability in the warn proceed handler, which allowed the execution of arbitrary code. So I'm like, okay, so you can get the site to throw up a warning page, and then, yeah, okay, that's pretty scary. I was afraid of that one. The flaw was found in the web appliance 4.3.10.4. This article has all the really grim details about all that if you are using any of those tools. They also had patching several other lesser severity bugs, which were patched and released. So if you are using that Sophos web appliance stuff, you may want to patch it up right away and check on your status. At the same time, Cisco also announced patches this week for multiple vulnerabilities, including, in fact, multiple might be a little light, including several high severity issues, which impact the secure network analytics tools and the identity service engine products. The first bug they talked about was described as insufficient sanitization of user-provided data parsed into memory. That basically, you know, means you push something into a memory location. And, you know, if you can put whatever you want in a memory location, that's pretty scary. Of course, that's a very old school kind of sounding thing, but it apparently still worked. This particular one allowed authenticated remote attackers to send HTTP requests, which is what people usually do with that kind of stuff, to an affected device, which could then allow an arbitrary code execution. So it's a combination of different things, but you basically push that in. And that was patched in the Secure Network Analytics 7.4.1 patch SMC rollup number 5. They also patched an improper validation of parameters, which allowed privilege escalation in the restricted shell of Cisco ISE. And that one actually sounded like a lot of those old DOS or Unix tricks where, you know, you could put a pipe in something and you could run one command that was being given system privileges and just pipe another string. Like, you know, we used to pipe scripts into those things. So you type, you know, just some basic command in Linux and you pipe a script attachment into it. But those were fun. But Cisco issued a patch also of their Expressway series and Telepresence video communication server as well. Warnings were issued for two high severity vulnerabilities in the small business RV320 and RV325 routers, which may allow an authenticated remote attacker to execute arbitrary commands on the device. I always wonder if they're finding all these because of layoff announcements, but remember, those two devices are end of life, and Cisco said they will not be patched. So if you are using those, you may want to think about, you know, how can you mediate that, and or should you upgrade? They also listed medium severity flaws in WebEx meetings, Unified Contact Center Express, Secure Network Analytics, Prime Infrastructure, and Evolve Programmable Network Manager, ISE, Duo Two-Factor Authentication, and Packet Data Network Gateway. Wow. It was a long list of flaws. They did say they were not aware of any of these being currently exploited in the wild, but now that they've been announced, if you're using any of those products, you may definitely want to get in there and look at how can you mitigate some of these threats. According to this story, then, Meta, the Facebook parent company, has really, 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 really wanted their virtual world to work. It reminded me so much of Gavin Belson at Hulu in the show Silicon Valley, who was trying so hard to get that thing called Nucleus to work. You know, but Meta really wants this to work. So much so that they have been putting together compensation packages from $600,000 to $1 million per year for programmers who are capable of building out virtual reality-powered games, apps, and tech. Andiamo exec Patrick McAdams said that this was more than double what you would typically get at a larger gaming company. So they're obviously trying to attract talent. Of course, all this comes at a time when Meta is laying off, they just laid off 10,000 workers to downsize and restructure, and that was the second layoff in less than a year. They had previously cut 11,000 jobs last November, so I guess maybe that's growth in one area, decline in another area. Meta seems to be laying a lot of responsibility on this division for the future of the company, but you know, we'll see how well it catches on. So far, it's had not much traction from what I can tell. Well, when he took the Rorschach test, all the ink blots looked like... Now, I can't say that. Who wrote this? Now, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying what he said they look like. No, just no. But our great friend from across the narrow sea joins us to sing the reigns of Castlemere. Talk about Rorschach ransomware. Welcome, Aaron Leyland.
Ah, brilliant. Absolutely love it. And I also love that you stole me asking you who Rorschach was, but of course I always knew that you were going to know who Rorschach was. I'm sure you've done many, many Rorschach tests.
They kept giving them to me in school, and I don't know why.
I've never actually done one, but I'd actually love to. But then again, I'm kind of scared that
they actually used them when I was in high school. I saw them actually. They didn't give it to me. I worked in this guidance office, and the school counselor had them, and he was like, I was saying, so if every one of those you show me, I say it looks like I'm stabbing my parents. Is that a good or a bad thing? And he was like, well, it depends. And I was like, oh, I love therapy. Yeah.
But you're not meant to say they all just look like butterflies. And
yeah, that's what you're supposed to say. Yeah.
they're kind of scary, right? It's like it always seems like it's someone in the CIA or some three-letter organization.
I always wanted them to make me take it. I had a whole list of answers pre-prepared. Like, you know, that looks like my grandparents having sex on a beach in like Tahiti with a guy named Steve who they met at a bar earlier, and you know, just like really elaborate on it and see if you could freak them out. Then they give you Thorazine and you end up like McMurphy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah. We can do without another lobotomy. I don't think two will do any good. Okay. So in today's article, as lovely intro from Dr. Doug, we have Rorschach ransomware deployed by misusing a security tool. And we can cut out the whole bit about talking about who Rorschach was. But yeah, inkblot tests. So Checkpoint researchers have found that an unbranded ransomware strain, not actually sure what unbranded means, as the title to the article definitely gives it a name, brand name. I don't know. Anyway, but anyhow, the unbranded Rorschach ransomware that recently hit a US-based company is being deployed by attackers who are misusing a tool. No surprise there. So this was found out by Checkpoint researchers. The solution in question is Palo Alto Networks Cortex XDR, whose dump service tool the attackers appropriated and are now misusing to sideload the DLL that decrypts and injects the newly named Rorschach ransomware. Obviously, this has slight synergies to Cobalt Strike. And just quickly, an article I read on Cobalt Strike this morning, Microsoft, Fortran, and this one's a mouthful, Health Sector Information and Sharing Analysis Center are going after cracked versions of Fortran's Cobalt Strike software, which we know is sold to legitimate pen testers. But we also know that bad guys and bad girls have been copying it and reselling it so it can be used to orchestrate an attack on a vulnerable network. Naughty, naughty, very naughty, as the song goes. To the three of them tackling this, I say good luck. And to Cobalt Strike and Fortra, thank you for keeping me in a job. Keep up the good work, guys. Anyway, back to Rorschach. The malware was previously analyzed by ASEC researchers, and they stated that the Rorschach ransomware has some typical and some unique features. It's apparently somewhat autonomous. I'm not sure what somewhat autonomous either means. Surely it either is or it isn't, right? Anyway, apparently it can spread itself automatically when executed on a domain controller, where it creates a group policy that puts copies of itself on all workstations, and then one that kills a specific process, and finally one that registers a scheduled task that will run the main executable. It also clears Windows event logs on affected machines, disables the Windows firewall. That sounds like every cyber course I've ever been on. We're just going to show you this, but you have to disable your firewall, otherwise it won't work. Okay. Anyway, so that deletes shadow volumes and backups, obviously to make recovery more difficult. It has a hard-coded configuration, but additional capabilities that can be deployed via different command line arguments. Some of those where the operator can choose to not change the wallpaper of an infected machine or deliver a ransomware note, or makes it so that a password is needed to run the sample. That sounds a bit, does it sound a bit APT, or does it sound like you can change it so you can make it just wiperware? Who knows? Rorschach, it uses an interesting cryptography scheme, that's easy for you to say, that combines the Curve 25519 and the E-Stream Cipher HC128 algorithms. It encrypts only part of the files and uses very effective thread scheduling, unlike all of my code, which results in file encryption at lightning speed. But as the article says, perhaps the most interesting thing is how it's delivered and deployed. So Sergey from the Threat Intelligence Group Manager at Checkpoint told HelpNet Security, the cyber criminals are using the Cortex's XDR's dump service tool as a standalone tool they deliver themselves. In the case they observed, the attackers brought to the victim's machine a zip file, Perl zip files, that includes three files, cy.exe, which is actually Cortex XDR dump service tool, version 7.3.0.16740, but it's in the link if anybody's interested, which is abused to sideload into memory winutils.dll, which is then actually a packed Rorschach loader and injector, and also config.ini, which really is the encrypted Rorschach ransomware containing all the logic and configurations. The researcher is going to explain the main Rorschach payload config.ini is subsequently loaded into memory as well, decrypted and injected into notepad.exe where the ransomware logic begins. They didn't say in the article how the malicious zip file got onto the target organization's system, but I'm sure most of us could come up with many ways to cover that. They continued that Rorschach does not exhibit any clear-cut overlaps with any of the known ransomware groups, but it does appear to draw inspiration from some of them. Maybe they wrote it on ChatGPT. Who knows? What's certain is the ransomware won't run on machines where the default language script points to user being located in or is from a CIS country. For those of you that don't know, a CIS country is either a country or Commonwealth of Independent States, which is kind of what happened after the fall of the Soviet Union when some countries around there formed some sort of a union again. So maybe some Cyrillics need it, but maybe have some multiple language keyboards and machines with Cyrillics, as then that may stop certain types of malware unpacking to your machine. And maybe a top tip as well, having some digital forensic tools on there, as I, for one, would not want to drop my 0 days on a machine where someone might be a digital forensics incident response professional. But update, according to the article, Palo Alto is fixing as we speak. Ransomware, we talk about it a lot. And I tried downloading some malware this morning and then encrypting my files on my VM and then decrypting it. And it was whole loads of fun, but it was going to be way too long to show you right now. But what I will share my screen with you just very quickly is a project, which is really good, called No More Ransom. And it helps you unlock your files should they have been caught up in ransomware. Obviously, this is mostly some older sort of ransomware, but at least it gives you an idea. So we can see on the screen some of them, solid bit, locker cog. If we actually just go over to the decryption tools, we can do a quick search. And there were some really familiar names in here, which we'll just click on one and we can download the sort of decryptor there. But there's also beautifully how-to guides. Some of them are better than others. And these how-to guides will show you actually how to use the decryptor. So enjoy playing with that. Maybe don't download a sample of WannaCry and run it on your VM and then try and unencrypt it, because you definitely can't do it in 5 minutes. Okay, back to you in the studio, Doug.
All right, thank you. That looks like a really useful tool. I'm going to have to check that out. I had not seen that one, but we had some other, we'd been doing it manually, but it is, if you do get ransomware, it's great to have a plan. So I would definitely advise everybody to have a plan. And putting a Cyrillic keyboard on your machine is easy, and I did that years ago because they were limiting. They were not attacking systems with Cyrillic keyboards installed, so I've never been attacked with that, so maybe that's why the Russians never got me, but who knows. Actually, I put this Cyrillic keyboard on my system because I was going to Moscow and I wanted to be able to type searches in for certain things, but yeah. Anyway, thanks, Aaron. And finally, from 2019 until at least mid-2022, employees at Tesla were using a private internal messaging system to share images and videos they were recording from customers' car cameras based on a Reuters report that conducted interviews with 9 former Tesla employees. Tesla claims the cameras, officially, are designed from the ground up to protect your privacy, but the report said employees have easy access to the camera's output and were sharing that freely with other employees. They said there were pictures of dogs, funny road signs, and they were turning those into memes and sharing them, but there were also what was described as, quote, scenes of intimacy. laundry and sexual wellness items. Don't know what a sexual wellness item is, but I bet it's interesting. I was afraid to Google it. But they went on to say that it was possible to reveal where the owner lived by simply looking at the pictures and seeing, you know, where the car was parked and so forth. So look, folks, and I'm talking to the Tesla people and everybody else. It is always a temptation, whether you're managing an email server, you're managing a security server, or anything else, to share pictures and funny things with of users' personal information around privately amongst yourselves. But that never ends well. I mean, my recommendation to you is always be deposing. So imagine what you're going to say in the deposition when somebody sues and says, "Did you ever look at someone's personal email? Did you ever look at someone's personal photo collection?" And laugh about it. And it never ends well. I've done a couple of those cases, so just don't do it. Thanks, Aaron. We'll see you next week on the Security Weekly News.